You may open your Bibles, first of all, to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Then also turn to James. We'll look at a verse of Scripture here, or two, also in the 1st chapter of James. Now, while you're finding those two openings, Matthew 7, James chapter 1, you know I have been saying for just about 50 years now. Well, for a half a century. It sounds bigger that way, don't it? For a half a century. It's not what you think, the Bible said. That's not what counts. It's not what somebody told you, the Bible said. That's not what counts. It's what you know for yourself that God's Word says, and then do it. It won't do you a bit of good in the world to know the Bible if you don't do it. Are you listening to me? You know, we could all come to church tonight. Somebody knows, I may and I may not, some of them at least, where the light switches are. But unless, just because they know, it's not going to turn the lights on. Just because you know what God's Word said won't make God's Word work for you and the blessings of God become yours. It's when somebody acts on what they know, or does, in other words, what they know, that we have the building all lit up. Isn't that right? Well, it's when you act upon what God's Word said, or when you do what God's Word said. That, then, is when you receive the blessing. Praise God. Now, notice what Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, beginning to read with the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hearing and doing, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now turn to the book of James, please. Notice, beginning to read with the 22nd verse, James exhorting the church, believers, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, or in other words, a doer of the word, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now here Jesus said, back to the 7th chapter of Matthew, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, in times past, and before I read to you what the Word said, because I'd heard others say, knowing that Christ is also called a rock, people said, well, you build on him and you'll not fail. But yet you see failure all around you among Christians. Amen? But you see, here in this story, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is likening us unto a house. Man, he's likening him unto a house. And he said, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Well, in other words, you could paraphrase it like this. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that man. The storms of life comes to all of us. The crisis of life comes to all of us. We think sometimes when some things happen that I'm the only one that ever went through anything like this. Poor old me. But that's wrong thinking. No, you're not the only one. These things are common to all of us who live in this life. And so, the rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Now, who is it that is likened unto the man that built his house on the rock? The man that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. The man, in other words, that hears the word of God and does it. That's the reason James is encouraging believers to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Well, a doer, you see, is not just hearing the word of God or knowing the word of God, but then acting upon it. Acting upon that word. Now then, Jesus went on to describe this man. He said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, there's no intimation that the fellow that fell wasn't a Christian. Are you listening to me? Or wasn't a child of God? Like I said before, I repeat, some folks had felt, well, just because I'm on the rock Christ, I'm safe from the storm. But you're not. Not unless you are a doer of the word. We see so many, when the storm comes, down they go. Falling, failing. Some to never rise again. Others rise up. But it's so good, blessed be God, to know the word and to be a doer thereof. Let's look at a moment at some of the storms that comes to us. Because, you see, he's speaking figuratively here. When he speaks about the rains descending, the floods coming, the storm, the wind blowing, and beating upon that house. The storms of life. I don't know of any greater storm than the storm of bereavement. When a loved one dies, when a loved one is called from this scene of action, well, so many times, if we don't know the word, if we're not conscious doer of God's word, Satan can blow us off of the scene, so to speak. Demolish us. I've seen people, even ministers of the gospel, full gospel, tongue talking. Bereavement came, swept them away. Some of them were years in recovering themselves. Some of them I don't think ever did recover themselves. But you know, when you know the Word, then you can act upon the Word. You can become a doer of the Word. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, if you know the Word, you know that this life is not the real life. This is just a dressing room, so to speak, where we're getting ready, bless God, to step out on God's great stage. For He's going to put on a production. Whoa! Throughout eternity. Hallelujah. He's going to put on a show. Amen. If you don't believe it, turn with me for just a moment to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. The second chapter. Well, we'll just start reading with the very first verse to get the full import of what He's saying. Hallelujah. And you hath He quickened, or you hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show. He's going to put on a show, bless God. Amen. Number of years ago down in Texas, the early days of the Pentecostal movement, they used to call Pentecostals holy rollers and tongue talkers. And make fun of them. This little old grandma, she had been poked fun at so many times until, you know, you develop almost an inferiority complex. But one night she was all dressed up, come out of her house, oh, just dressed to the T, you know, just dressed in the finery she had for the day. One of her neighbors came out and met her and said, "Well, I'd like to know where you think you are going all dressed up." Well, she said, "I'm going to the show." This lady liked to swallow her teeth. Said, "I didn't think you believed in going to the show." "Well, no, but," said, "God's going to put on a show. May just start any time. It's going to last throughout all eternity. I'm going to it. Glory to God." Well, I'll tell you, dear friends, that little old woman had the right thought. That in the ages to come, in the ages, in the ages. Praise God, there's one dispensation began on the day of Pentecost. We're still in that age. But there are ages, not just an age, but ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I said to you, this, when you know the Word, then you know that this life, that this world, is just the dressing room. Praise God. Getting us ready. Hallelujah for the main show. Praise God. Are you listening to me? When you know the Word, though from the natural standpoint, from the natural your heart, you know, naturally we grieve. But the Word of God teaches us to grieve not as though which have no hope. Naturally it affects us because we're still living in this body that has not yet been redeemed. But oh, thank God. In the midst of that storm, in the midst of the winds of bereavement beating upon us, we can go to God's Word, not just read it, not just know it, but do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember on one occasion, my wife and I were preaching the western part of the United States. We were preaching there for one of our full gospel denominations. And the man who was the superintendent or supervisor of the district. He was called home. Well, he wasn't real old, but he'd put in a lot of years. And like I said to some of them, he's done more work in 60 some odd years than some folks have in 90. Well, we happened to be preaching in one of the churches. We had another meeting starting just in the middle of the week, or on Tuesday night. And so on Sunday night, he passed away. We went by to see his wife because we'd preached for 15 months in that area. He had insisted that we come and preach throughout his district and his churches. So we went by to see them. She's quite a bit younger than him. And he was a businessman before he ever got saved. About 39 years of age before he was ever born again. Then he sold his businesses, and I think he had two or three, and invested the money. And so she was well off financially. But yet she's left without him. He's gone home, and she's just crying her heart out. And so I just took her into the living room and sat down on the couch and opened up God's Word to her. Oh, thank God for the Word. I said, thank God for the Word. Praise God. And we began to read such scriptures as this. I had her, you see. In other words, took her Bible. Mine was out in the car, but then had her to get another Bible. They got Bible just like we do in every room of the house almost. And here we began to read together such scriptures as 2 Corinthians 4:16, for though the outward man decayeth, the inward man's renewed day by day. There is an inward man, you know. Hallelujah. We began to read 2 Corinthians 5, and particularly the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses. For we know that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. 7th verse, we walk with faith, not by sight. We are confident and willing rather, therefore, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So I said, where is he? You see, we're not careful. We get so attached to the physical, we think that's the person. No, that's just the house they lived in. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's just the house they lived in down here. I like to say it this way. I think if they was writing the Bible nowadays, they'd use different terms. You know, in this first verse of that 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul makes this statement, for we know. I like that, don't you? That's positive. I like that fellow Paul. I mean, he's a whole lot like me, or I'm a whole lot like him. Positive. God deliver us from these poor, dear, negative souls. For we know, not we hope so, not we guess so, not maybe so, not it could be that way, not perhaps it's that way. We know. 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 What is it we know? That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Woo, glory to God. Not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice that word tabernacle, the New Testament uses that. Remember over in Peter's second letter, he wrote two epistles, and in the second one, the first chapter, he said, you know, as long as I am in this tabernacle, put in own words, in other words, you felt like it is duty to stir up your pure minds of remembrance. Knowing shortly, he said, that I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Now, go back to John's Gospel, the last chapter, and see what he showed him. The Word of God said that Jesus said to Peter, when thou was young, thou didst gird thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall carry thee where thou wouldest not. Now notice, by this, now get this. By this, Jesus showed him by what death he would magnify, glorify God. You mean he'd glorify God in dying? Yeah, that's what it said. By what death he would glorify God. You mean you can glorify God in dying? Well, how else would the Christian die? Amen. Are you listening? Now, the Greek word translated tabernacle also can be translated tent. I must put off this my tent, tabernacle. You know, I think if it's right nowadays in this space age, these fellas going up into the space, you know, they put on a special suit. They call it a space suit. Writing to people nowadays, I believe the Holy Ghost would read like this, knowing shortly Peter would have said that I must put off my earth suit. Amen. That's just the how. The body is just the earth suit, the suit that you wear on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, it wouldn't function in heaven anyway. Yeah, you're going to get a new body, but it won't be an earth suit. It'll be a heaven suit. You hear me? Glory to God. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this time, we know, hallelujah, if our earth suit were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal into heavens. Now go back down to that 8th verse of that 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're confident. I like that. That's positive. Confident. Hallelujah. Confident, knowing that to be absent from the body, to be absent from our earth suit, is to be present with the Lord. So I said to this minister's wife, where is your husband? Why, he's with the Lord. I said, the shout then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I said to her, turn over here. Turn over to Philippians, the first chapter. The 21st through the 23rd verse. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, he didn't say by what death is gain. He just said to die is gain. Whichever way it came, at whatever stage of life it came, it's gain for you who die. Are you listening? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He went on to say, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now I said to this dear lady, look at these scriptures here. To die is to gain. Now in the natural realm, I said to her, if you had a son, which they had no children, but if you had a son, he's living off in another state. He wrote to your phone and said, Mama, you know, they just promoted me. I'm on a mech. And see, back there then, been a lot of money. $100,000 a year. They're going to furnish me a $500,000 home, which would have been big for that day. Be like about $1.5 million home today. Would you just start crying and said, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. He's going to make $100,000 a year living in a $500,000 home. Isn't that awful? No, she said, that's not what. I said, what would you do? I said, I'd start shouting. I said, go ahead and shout. You see, that's your husband has gained, praise God. It's far, if he had just said it's better, if he had just said he is better, that would have been good. But he said far. I mean, that's way out beyond better. Amen. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Well, the Bible said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You see, that's what keeps us from being beaten down by the storms of life, is to know God's Word and act upon it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, you know what? I mean, through a tear, sure you cry. Sure you feel your loss. But did you ever stop to think about it? Nearly all the tears, I'd say 90% of all the tears that we shed. You know, I said we, I didn't just say you. Did I? That we shed are selfish tears. Don't shout me down now, just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Selfish. See, we're thinking about me. Poor old me. What am I going to do? Amen. Amen. I'm left alone. Well, through her tears, I mean, that dear woman was shouting. She got happy. Her face lit up before, you know, it was dark and sad and clouded. But now her face is bright and shining. But about that time, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. About that time, some preachers drove up. If we could just get around some of these preachers, we'd have it made. I mean that right. Amen. Here's some preachers drove up from that district. Well, you could hear, I mean, they couldn't even park close to the house because cars were everywhere, you know. But you could hear them bawling and squalling. They got within a half a block of the house. Oh, what are we going to do now? What are we going to... Well, you'd thought Jesus Christ and God Almighty had both died overnight. What are we going to do now? Well, she went to meet them, and of course, they pulled her right back down to the level where they were. Here she is, just lost all of it. Amen. I got her away from the unbelievers fast as I could. Sat her back down on the couch. Went back over the scriptures again. Through her tears, she's shouting the victory. Praise God and on top. About that time, some more preachers drove up. I'm not making this up. It's absolutely true. Time they hit the porch, you know, or the door. Oh, and then throw their arms around her. What are we going to do without him? We'll never make it without him. We can't make it. What will we do? Well, life's not worth living. Well, I got her away from him just as fast as I could. Amen. Set her back down on the couch. Went through the same thing the third time. Well, if we could have stayed with her, it'd have been better, but we had to leave. And so... That was in another part of the state. I said, you understand, you know, we would stay and go to the funeral and so on and so forth, but we got this meeting advertisement in another state. We understand. I've been in the ministry. We understand. And of course, the husband would want you to go on and preach. So we went on. They went down to the southern part of the state to have the funeral. She knew where we were going, the church at least. And so through then, here come a long-distance call. Brother Hagin, you see, they're going to have the funeral that day. She called long distance. Tell me again what you told me. Repeat that. Everybody else pulls me down. Everybody else just puts unbelief and doubt and darkness in me. But when you talk, it lifts me up. It lifts up my spirit. And tell me again on the phone. So I told her again. They got through the funeral. A day or two after it, she called again. Brother Hagin, would it be all right for you and Sister Hagin if I come over there where you are? In that meeting. Well, I said, sure, come on over. She said, you're the only one that puts anything into me and lifts me up. Everybody else pulls me down and gets me back down in the valley. Oh, my brother, sister, we ought to be lifting people up. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of the valley. Glory to God. The Word of God will do it. The Word of God will do it. The Word of God is the only thing that will do it. Being a doer of the Word is the only thing that will put you over. So she came over there and was with us through that meeting. And then she said, Brother Sister Hagin said, well, actually temporarily went back to her state first and then called us again. She knew we were going home, back to Texas. Could I go home with you? I got back over here and everything anybody says is doubt, and darkness, and death, unbelief. But you lift me up. Well, it's the Word. I'd get her on the Word. I'd get her acting on the Word. Well, I said, sure, come on, come on. So she went home with us. Well, we got over into Dallas or Garland where we live. And some of the preachers of that full gospel denomination, of course, knew her. And here they came out. They called. They wanted to come out and offer their condolences. I'll tell you, we need to offer people comfort and help, bless God. The best way to help them is put the Word in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here they come, time they get out of the car, out in the yard, there's a bawling and a squalling. It wasn't long till they had her back down in the valley. And I had to lift her out again. Now, you see, she should have been strong enough to act on God's Word for herself. But if she isn't, some of the rest of us ought to help them. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh, it's so good to know God's Word. Are you listening? I remember I was preaching out in California, 1955. And I, in talking about, in today's services, in, And see, God has special reasons for special things. In teaching in the daytime, in this meeting which ran for 3 weeks, teaching on the subject of faith and what it means to believe with the heart, I began to talk about the inward man, you know, with the heart man believeth. And so you have to get over here to what is the Spirit. And I didn't know why. But God led me to spend a lot of extra time here talking about this inward man and using all these scriptures. Well, that was October of 1955. January of 1956, I was preaching in Southern California in one of the full gospel churches of this full gospel denomination. And this pastor, who was pastor up there in the northern part, I saw him in the service. After the service, he was talking to him. He said, "You know, Brother Hagin, I see why God had you to emphasize that." He said, "Between Christmas and New Year's, just recently, and I'm back down here to tend to some business, but my daddy died. You know," he said, "I almost feel guilty. If I'd been like I used to would, but I almost feel guilty for not just grieving about it, but every time I get to think about it, I want to shout." I mean, he went home to be with Jesus. Glory to God. You see what a difference the Word of God made in his life. That Word, he said, that you came. I'm a preacher. I know what the Word said. But some way or another, God just used you to build that into my spirit. Till I know he's gone. But it just don't feel like he's gone. Praise God. And there's such comfort. And such joy. See, he didn't say happiness. Joy. I mean, you can have joy on the inside with tears running down your face. Oh, you listen to me. Thank God. Well, that is a storm that comes, that blows, that beats upon our house, isn't it? But then there's a storm of domestic problems that arise. And you know, there's all kinds of areas here. All kinds of areas. What caused it? I don't know. Sometimes you got to deal with the cause of something, but in the midst of the storm, go to the Word of God. If you don't know, find out what God's Word says. Amen. God's Word tells me exactly my responsibility and duty toward my wife and her responsibility and duty toward me. Sometimes we say Christ is the answer. He is. But if you're just born again, you know Him all right, but don't know what the written Word said, you can still be defeated. We see people defeated on every hand. The Word, you see, Christ is the living Word. This written Word is also the Word of God. It's given unto us to unveil and to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ unto us. The Bible has the answer. The Bible tells me exactly how that I am to conduct myself toward my children and what I'm supposed to do. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Isn't that right? Many other such scriptures, I'm just mentioning some. The Bible tells children exactly what to do in regard to their parents. And thank God for the promise of God. You know, Paul writing to the church. I was reading some time ago in a leading periodical, a world-renowned Bible teacher in full gospel circles, and I was really appalled at something he said. He said, "Long life is not a New Testament blessing. It doesn't belong to us under the New Covenant." Now, under the Old Covenant, God said to Israel, you know, "Do this and do that, and I'll add length of days unto the number of your days you'll fulfill." But I don't belong to the New Testament. I thought to myself, well, I always thought that Ephesians was in the New Testament. Didn't you? I always thought that the book of Ephesians was in the New Testament, and that Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, is writing unto the church at Ephesus. And if it belongs to the church at Ephesus, it belongs to the church of Tulsa. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now in the 6th chapter he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live a short time upon the earth. That thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Now what does it mean to tell parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Teach them what the Word of God says. I used to, when my children were small, if I had to correct them, which wasn't too often, sometimes give them a whipping. Before I'd whip them, I'd read that scripture to them and said, I'm not whipping you because I want to whip you. You see, I want it to be well with you. Those are not well days when you're in the hospital, are they? Are they? No. I want it to be well with you. I want you to live a long time on the earth. I remember when Ken's about 5 years old. Well, he was 5 years old. And so I'd said to him to empty the wastebasket. And that night then we'd pray with him before we put him to bed. And then I'd do my studying. You know, we just had to study in the home. Just a desk over to one side of the room, you know. I usually, they got off to bed, that's when I'd study. Sometimes read all night long, study. And so Ken said, Dad, took me by the hand, led me into the living room, actually where I had my desk, and said, find that scripture where it said to children, do what your parents said, do, and you'll live a long time. Oh, I said, Ephesians, yeah. So I found it. Ephesians 6:1, read it. I read it to him again. He started crying. He said, I want you to forgive me. He said, I didn't empty that wastebasket this morning. I thought he had his empty. I guess Aretha came along and emptied it. I said, that's all right, son. I forgive you. Now get down and just pray and you ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen. God's Word just works. I said, God's Word just works. I'm talking about being doers of the Word and not just hearers only. We'll put you over in the midst of the storm. Now you think about, and I think this is, we've all been there. I think this is one of the most difficult storms, tests, trials, crises that we have to deal with. And that is the storm of guilt. Because you see, when you miss it, I remember after I was born again, and I want to maintain that. I endeavor to maintain that. There's some things that in Christendom you should grow and outgrow. You know what I mean? We're born, newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we ought to grow up, praise God, in Christ. But did you know that there's some things about that stage or state of development of a baby that we ought to maintain? Amen. One of them is just simply this, that sensitiveness in our spirits, praise God, when we missed it. I remember after I was born again, not filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but healed, raised up from the bed of sickness. And I realize that we make mistakes we don't even realize we make a lot of times. There are faults about us. But I remember the first time that I just really made a real blunder. In fact, just had to say, sort of like David of old, I've sinned. Though I didn't commit the same sin he did. Yet I've played the fool. But I remember how bad I felt. How terrible on the inside of me. Because I missed it. These folks going around preaching a sinning religion, they can just sin and do wrong, it don't ever bother them. They need another dip. Not a dip of Levi either. They need a dip in the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. I don't know whether they've ever been there or not. If your spirit is born again and born of God and has the nature of God in it, and it does, if it's born again, then your spirit don't want to do wrong. Amen. It's sort of like the story D.L. Moody tells. about the little young lady that said to him, said, "Mr. Moody, I'd like to be saved, but I can't." He said, "Why?" "Well," said, "I can't give up dancing." Mr. Moody preached against worldly dancing. She said, "I can't give it up. I've tried it. I can't give it up." He said, "Well, little lady, you just come on to the inquiry room." He'd take people in the room. He called it inquiry room. We'd call it prayer room. People, they would inquire, you know, and people would counsel them and pray with them. "Come right on to the inquiry room and give your heart to the Lord." Said, "You can dance all you want to." Well, she took him at his word. Very next service, she responded to the invitation, went into the inquiry room, was born again. 4 or 5 days later, Mr. Moody said she met him on the street full of smiles, said, "Mr. Moody, I see what you mean now. The want to's gone." Hallelujah. Well, that's what happens on the inside of us. But then we've got this body to contend with, and it'll throw you pretty easily. Then we have the devil, demons and evil spirit. And then the world. The Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, we don't think sometimes, oh, the devil's the enemy. But here he talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil, all three of them. Sometimes it's one of them, sometimes it's another one of them, sometimes it's a combination of all three of them, world, flesh, devil. And we feel so badly. And under a cloud. But we don't have to stay there, thank God. Are you listening to me? "Well, I just might as well quit," I've had people to say to me. "I've sinned. God don't love me anymore." Well, he's not encouraging you to sin, but he loves you not because of it, but in spite of your failure. I mean, he must love you because he made provision for you. Praise God. To get back into fellowship. You see, sin breaks fellowship. And he made provision for you. Thank God for the word. You know it as well as I do. Turn with me to 1 John. The first epistle of John. The very first chapter. John is not writing a letter to sinners. He's not writing a letter to the world. He's writing this letter to believers. The first verse of the second chapter, he said, "My little children." Hallelujah. I want you to notice something here in this first chapter. Let's start reading with the third verse. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship." Now I want you to count the word fellowship. See how many times he mentions it. "That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What thing? Well, what he's just got through saying, what he's about to say. "These things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Now let's go on reading. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship," that's the third time he's mentioned it, fellowship, "with him and walk in darkness," no, he isn't writing to sinners, he's writing to Christians. "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship." That's the fourth time he's mentioned it. "Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now, don't take that text out of its setting. That's where we missed it. Don't take the eighth verse out of its setting and try to apply it to everybody. Are you listening to me? Because that isn't true. He's saying this, that person that's out of fellowship and in darkness, that person, you see, that's in darkness, out of fellowship, if you say that you haven't sinned, then you deceive yourself and His truth's not in us, in you. That's the thing that caused you to get out of fellowship. That's the thing that caused you to get into darkness, was sin and wrongdoing. But are you going to stay there? No, thank God. Here's the way out. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. Now again, do not take that 10th verse out of its setting and try to apply it to everybody. That verse doesn't apply to the person that's walking in the light and has not sinned. It's talking about the fact if you're out of fellowship and in darkness, and if you say you haven't sinned, you make Him a liar and His word's not in you. Sin puts the light out. Amen. But thank God we don't have to stay there. I said we don't have to stay there. Amen. We can know God's word and act upon it. Be a doer of the word. Now, do you wear your shouting clothes tonight? Amen. John did not write this letter in chapter and verses. You know that, don't you? He wrote a letter. Man divided it into chapter and verses. As we go on into the second chapter, the first few verses, he's still talking about the same thing he was talking about in this first chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you. What thing? What he said in the first chapter that he just got through writing. These things write unto you that you sin not. No, God doesn't want us to sin. And if any man sin, but thank God there's help for us if we do. Aren't you glad? Amen. I said, aren't you glad? Amen. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate means a lawyer or one who pleads our case. Oh, glory to God. These things are right unto you that your joy may be full. Otherwise, you'd think I've failed, I've sinned, I'm out of it. But oh, thank God, I have an advocate. I have a lawyer. I've got one. Jesus Christ the righteous. See, if I sinned, I lost my sense of righteousness. And I feel bad about it. I can't go into His presence. But I can say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. And Jesus goes into the presence of the Father, hallelujah, because He's Jesus Christ the righteous, and pleads my case. Woo, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, I heard of this fellow, what's his name from Guyana, that's full gospel businessman now. He got saved one time when they had a full gospel businessman meeting down there in that part of his country. But that fellow had, I forgot how many, 143? How many? 243 murders that he defended, never lost a case, won every one of them. But I got one that beat him. Woo, glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never lost a case. Hallelujah. Now why? Now notice that second verse. Like I said, did you wear your shouting clothes? And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Notice you differentiate between the sins of the Christian and the sins of the world. He's a propitiation for our sins. Now you see, you preach this. This is in the Bible, but some folks don't like you to preach it because even if it is in the Bible. Through the years I've preached, I've had people say, Brother Hagin, you oughtn't to preach. I said, why? You oughtn't to preach the Bible? No. You're liable to give people a license to sin. I said, why, no, it's no use giving a license. Most of them do enough sin without any license. Amen. I said, amen. Thank God for knowing the Word. But isn't it no wonder to me that Christians sometimes are all mixed up. Preachers are all mixed up. I know I was holding a revival a number of years ago, as we used to call them, you know, actually a crusade, the church, larger city. I was running two services a day, 10 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 at night. We took Saturday off. Saturday was an off day. Children were smaller. They were at home. My wife was with them. They were in school. The pastor said, Brother Hagin said, you know, I don't know, maybe you just like to spend the night off, but on Saturday night, but said, my wife and I are driving out here to suburban town. Brother so-and-so is holding a revival meeting out there, and we're going out there and visit this Saturday night service. Would you like to come go along with us? Well, being, you know, by myself, I was lonesome. I said, sure, I'd like to. Yeah, I know him. I'll go with you. So we went out. Visited the meeting. This is the third week of their meeting, the first week of ours. We were in the main city. They were out in the suburban, well, further away, you know, than even Broken Arrow is from Tulsa, way on out. The pastor, of course, acknowledged that we were there and had us to say a word, and we just greeted the people and so on. And finally, the minister got up to preach. I don't misunderstand me at all, because I don't mean this to be destructive criticism. I mean it to be constructive. And it's not hurting anybody, because no names are mentioned. You don't know anybody. But this man got up to preach, and I loved him, still do it, appreciated him all right. But I didn't know. I just didn't know that you could go to church and sit there and hurt in so many different places. Now, first of all, he took a text from the Old Testament. Well, that's all right if it fits in with the New. But there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that don't fit in with the New or don't even apply to us under the New. A lot of it does. Some of it does. Don't misunderstand me. But he happened to get some scripture that no more applied to us than it did to man on the moon. And I wondered, what in the world is he reading that scripture for? And then he began his discourse. He had 3 points. And he spent 15 minutes on the very first thought. He said, now let me tell you how I've got this figured out. And he proceeded to tell us how he had it figured out. Missed the Bible a mile. And on the second thought, he said, now, when he gave his second thought, now let me give you my opinion on this. Well, I could care less what his opinion is. What does the Word say? I was sitting there thinking about what the Word of God said. And the Word of God contradicted his opinion, but he gave his opinion. And then finally, on his third thought, he said, now let me tell you what I think about this. And he presented his theory. Well, a theory, now you won't find this definition in the dictionary, but it's a good one anyway. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. And I thought to myself, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. Oh, dear God. Well, finally then he gave an invitation. He had some singers with him who could sing beautifully. They began to sing an invitation number. He said, now this is the third week. We're going to close tomorrow night. It had been 3 weeks. Nobody's been saved. I could understand why. But now he said, come on. We're going to have them sing another verse. Said, you can't never tell. This might be your night. Well, I thought about what the Bible said. Today is the day of salvation. This is your night. Come on. Hallelujah. Said, God might save you. You can't never tell. Come on, he said to the altar while they sing, and give him a chance anyway. Well, thank God didn't anybody come. Because he told them that it was a chancy thing. They might get saved, they might not. No, I'm not saying that to make fun of him. I'm saying that to establish the fact that so much of the time, so much unbelief is propagated until it's difficult for people to receive truth. Amen. I thought about, you know, what the Bible said. He said, you can't never tell. God might save you. I thought about what the Bible said. Every time Scripture would come to my mind, I'd thought about this, that Christ is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had that all planned out. You don't have to get God in the notion. He said, I had to pray 3 days and 3 nights before I could get God in the notion of saving me. Well, I thought God was in the notion when he sent Jesus. Said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't have to get him in the notion of saving me. He was in the notion of saving me before the foundation of the world. For the Bible said Christ is as a lamb slain before, from the foundation of the world. Isn't that right? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Well, of course it didn't anybody come. They probably wouldn't have got saved if they did, because he told them you might have to pray like I did 3 days and three nights before you can get God the notion of saving me. So they didn't anybody come. They sang and sang and sang. Finally said, well, I'll tell you. Now there's those that seek in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Said, now why don't you come to the altar? Said, of course nobody's received the baptism during the meeting. I could understand why. But said, you can't never tell. This might be your night. Well, they sang a verse and nobody came. He said, now I know it's getting late. But now, after all, more people's got the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost after midnight than before. What if they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost after midnight? It's because they believe God after midnight instead of before. God's not any different after midnight than he is before midnight. He's the same all the time, isn't he?
Amen.
Well, nobody came. Because he told them they'd probably have to wait till after midnight and then probably wouldn't receive. So finally he concluded. Now this is full gospel. Finally he concluded. He got through. Finally he said, I'll tell you what. Before we go, if anybody needs healing, come and sit down here on the altar. He said, Brother Hagin's here. He's a man of faith. I'll have him to come and lay hands on. He said, I don't much believe in healing myself. I didn't make that up. That's absolutely the truth. Well, four or five brave souls waded through unbelief neck deep and got down there and sat down on the altar. And then, Brother Hagin, you come. I don't much believe in it. I've been preaching to him for 3 weeks, filling with unbelief, and I don't much believe in it. But just see what you can do. And then you've got to go down there with a preacher breathing the hot breath of unbelief down your neck. And try to get those few brave souls healed. And by the mercies of God, manage to get one or two of them healed. And then they go up and say, now that's the way of that healing bunch. I had them in my meeting and nobody got healed. Amen. I'm still talking about being a doer of the word. Under all circumstances of life, know what the word says and do it. Act upon it. Act upon it. Now another minister, bless his heart. I could call his name because he was much more outstanding, nationally known, internationally known. Standing talking at one time to several, well, quite a few weak ministers. And the poor fellow had missed it. He hadn't committed some great sin, grave wrong. He didn't rob any bank, kill anybody. But he, as we all were talking, well, he just mentioned about the fact that he had missed it. God had laid certain things on his heart to do in the ministry, and he hadn't obeyed God. He hadn't done it. And with tears, he said, I sure hope the Lord will forgive me. I don't know whether he will or not, but I hope he will. Well, I immediately thought about this scripture. I just got through reading to you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me. Because I ask him, thank God he will. See, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. See, you can get over on that other side and live in that negative side of life. I hope the Lord will forgive me. I don't know whether he will or not. And it'll open the door to the devil. I'll tell you, if you miss it, I don't want to miss it. I don't know about you. But if you miss it, don't stay there. Just run as fast as you can and get covered by the blood and get back under the covering. Because if you're over there, the devil can get to you. And he's liable to bring sickness and disease, and that's another storm. Are you listening to me? Don't persist in wrongdoing. That's most dangerous. Don't even wait till you come back to church. If you missed it, stop right there and say, Lord, I missed it. And straighten up. Praise God. And the Lord will forgive you. Well, I wished I had time. I don't know. I just rambled around here. Didn't have any notes or anything. Just, I had four or five things written down on a piece of paper over there in the office, but couldn't find it. So I just said, I'm going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His Word.